Good morning. I'm going to call this meeting to order. I have a gavel. My grandson loaned it to me. All right. Good morning, everyone. I want to thank you all very much for coming out on this terribly wet and rainy day. And we're ready to start, I think. I want to make a couple of, just one announcement. We have to use a key for the restrooms, and the key is, I think, at the, is it there, Andrea, near you? Oh, it's in use. It's got a big plastic thing on it that says restroom key, and the restrooms are right on the other side of this wall right there. Okay, so I'm calling this meeting of the KPFA LSB to order, and I'm going to ask the secretary to do the roll call, please.
Okay, good morning, everybody. here we go. By last name, Agamir.
Present.
Okay, Agamir present. Bernstein?
Here.
Bernstein here. Drake?
Here.
Drake here. Fest?
Here.
Fest here. Futron? Futron is absent. Gans? Gans is absent. Giesler? Giesler is absent. Goldmacher? Goldmacher is here. Hallinan. Matthew.
Here.
Matthew Hallinan is here. Checked the wrong person. Yep, here's the other one. Con Hallinan.
There.
Con Hallinan is here. Johnson.
Here.
Johnson is here. Kim.
Here.
Kim is here. Kurzweil.
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Knorr.
Here.
Knorr is here. Phelps. Phelps is absent. Pritchett.
Here.
Pritchett is here. Privis.
She's reparking her car.
Oh, okay. She's out momentarily, but will be back. Rosenberg.
She's here, too.
She's same thing. Rosenberg is here. Okay. Russell?
Here.
Russell is here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Siegel?
Here.
Siegel is here. Tanaka?
Here.
Tanaka is here. Turner?
Present.
Turner is present. Wilkinson?
Here.
Wilkinson is here. And Withers?
Here.
Withers is here, so we have a quorum.
So the chair has received requests for excused absences from David Gans and Richard Phelps. Sasha Futron emailed me and said that she might be late, but that she was coming. She had been ill all week, and she didn't feel like she could make the full day, but she would come later. Does anyone else have anything? Yes?
Madam Chair, Renee Giesler can't make it today. She had to take care of her a child today, so she's asking for excused absence for her thing.
Okay, good. Anybody else? All right, so the chair will accept a motion for excusing the absences that have been mentioned.
Second.
All right, is there any discussion on the motion? Yes, now.
I would like to suggest that in future, people who want to be excused email the secretary or the chair and not just any old member.
All right. To the extent possible, I think that's a good idea. Okay? All right. Any other discussion on the motion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right. Now we're ready for the public comments. If someone will bring me the clipboard that people signed up on to do. Is there anyone who didn't sign up for public comments who would like to sign up at this time? Okay. Thank you. Yes, Tracy. You have to turn it on.
So if we could take people who might arrive late during the public comment session.
That's fine with me. Okay. There are only two names on the list. So I think we ask people to speak briefly. Our standard time is 2 minutes, although, you know, an extra minute I don't think would hurt us at this point. So the two names I have are Kate Gowan, followed by Nancy Delaney. Kate? And would someone give her a mic, please?
Sorry. Too close to you. I just wanted to commend the board president and treasurer for having put much more information than is usually available after the last meeting. particularly the financial documents. I was grateful for that and am hoping that we will get comparable quality information about the Pacifical National Board meeting that happened recently and about which I have some confusion. It seems rumor prevails there about whether our local people were there or what.
Thank you. I was a programmer for 16 years at KPFA in the 80s and into the 90s. I was the unpaid steward within the union for 7 years, representing the unpaid staff. And I've been a listener since the middle 60s. And I've been in the Bay Area watching what's happening during that time, too. I'd like to say that in a world where money and status are all that counts, we have a chance within KPFA to work to grow and rebalance human life and what our possibilities are. And one of the key things that KPFA offers us is a gift economy. And it has been here since the beginning, so that 80% of our income comes from that, from the listeners. And 80% of the work is by people who are moved by their love of the future, of the communities, of peoples, of different issues, and they work for free. And that's an honorable thing to do. And I'd like to just point out how there's been something going on within KPFA over the last years as I've watched it, where the unpaid began to be looked at as a pest within the program council, or the listeners are looked at as pests, except when they need the money. And I'd like to suggest that we have here a gift economy of 80% money, 80% work, and yet the union ignores that completely and pretends it's just them and the staff and the management. And it's an unclear picture, and it's twisting us, and it's putting people at odds with each other. We're not embracing the beauty of what we are as human beings together, our humanity together that brought us here in the first place, that makes this even important to us. I'd like to see our look around at different nonprofits that have large volunteer staffs in Canada, the U.S., Europe, wherever we might find them, Africa, where there are nonprofits that have guidelines for accountability, where it's not based on if you are a paid person or an unpaid person, but if you are an engaged person, and that those and a guideline be brought in, because there is such disrespect and discounting of humans. And that I'd also like to see that since the donors are paying 80% of the income, they should be able to know what the wages are that they are paying, that that's only fair. This is not a corporation, and to use corporate decision-making about defining what a union is inaccurate. Just like to see us grow a new kind of world and not just go fall back into the lack of human values that we find in the corporate world. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So is there anyone else who would like to speak under public comments? We don't do discussion now.
No, it's not discussion.
Oh, okay. Hold on one second. We're still in the public comment. Is there anyone? Do either of you who just came in wish to speak under public comments? All right. We're in the middle of public comments, so let's... Okay, Virginia Browning.
Oh, hi. I went to a poetry reading last night where the last line of one of the poems was, "Fix them to the wall as the Pope has ordered." Meaning, I took it to mean, you know, no one can deny Michelangelo was a pretty great professional painter, but he was obliged to do his work by order of the high-moneyed officials of the time. And if the firewall's broken down between public officials and people on this board, the people, who's to prevent a party or a organization of unions with lots of money or corporations with lots of money or anybody else with a lot of power and money from backing somebody to be on this board, somebody, an official who's also an official in government, an appointee, as he himself said, who's going to sit on this board now. The firewall, the bylaws were written, the Pacifica bylaws, so that this would never happen again, so that the Pacifica organization would be independent from huge money interests like that. And so I don't know exactly what the next step is, but I hope that this will continue to be fought, this improper seating of Dan Siegel to the board that shouldn't have been done yesterday.
Daniel Borgstrom.
Hello, my name is Daniel Borgstrom. I watched the court thing yesterday. We all know what happened there. I don't need to repeat that. Here's a book, Animal Farm, by George Orwell, which I read some years ago. And I just thought of that, and I went and got it from the library. There's a line in here which is pretty interesting. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. I think probably all of us have read this story. Let me just briefly repeat it. It's about a farm where the animals decide to hold a revolution. They take over. They run the farmer off, and they instead become the owners of the farm. And the next step is that a certain clique of animals decide that they are the people who are, the animals who are going to run the show. And that's what this is about. That's what the story is about, how they take over. And that is what I'm seeing here. Again, this line, this is one of their announcements. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. And that is what I'm seeing here. We have a set of bylaws, and these bylaws do not apply to some people. One person, we just had an example of that. Now, when we go around doing things like this, establishing some people as more equal than others, it makes all of us progressives look bad. I mean, it doesn't just make one person look bad or one party. It reflects on all of us in some way or another. And I've seen examples of how this has worked out here at KPFA in the at LSB meetings. I don't have to give examples. I think we all remember them. We're all here. I just want to say that this business of some animals are more equal than others is not the way I want to see this. I hope that we can, enough said.
Next month, will you give us Alice?
Thank you. Please, no crosstalk. Is there anyone else in the audience who wants to address the board? All right. Thank you, Dan.
I wondered if I could have a point of personal privilege.
That's a point. That's an example in point that some animals are more equal than others.
Some animals come in here and make personal taxes.
Hey! I'm the only person who is going to talk right now. Okay? If you want to talk and you're a member of this board, you raise your hand and I will recognize you. If you are in the audience, you don't get to talk right now, okay? That's how it works. All right? So, Dan Siegel asked for a point of personal privilege, and I am going to grant it to him because he was personally named in the remarks of one of the speakers, and that is exactly why Robert's Rules of Order set up point of personal procedure, so that someone who is personally named can have an opportunity to respond. I will ask Dan to keep his remarks extremely brief, and then we will move on with the agenda, all right?
Thank you. And, you know, I do want to respond. I understand people are upset. They think that the court, Alameda County Superior Court, has become part of the Save KPFA faction and does our bidding. But another explanation might be that people are taking very poorly ill-considered legal positions, which are being rejected by the judges. And that's really the way it is. And in response to what Virginia said, you know, there's nothing in Pacifica's bylaws which would prevent 25 people from the Bank of America or from the United Auto Workers or from the Sierra Club to run for office and to win every seat on this board. So if that's a real concern, then perhaps the bylaws should be amended. You know, the argument was made in court yesterday that what's wrong with my being on the board is a question of political influence, which I think is an interesting argument because the flip side of that is that we should only have board members who are not influential. And, of course, then we could get into a test if we want to start having court cases about that. And as I said to the judge, we could then have evidence as to whether you have influence in the world or not. And I suppose if you had a demonstration and the government changed its policy, then you would be disqualified from sitting on this board because your demonstration was successful. But if your demonstration was unsuccessful, then you could sit on this board forever. And I really think it's probably something worth thinking about. In order to create a radio network that actually has influence in the world, it might be helpful to have people running the network who likewise have some influence. This is not just an organization for us to spend time arguing with each other.
All right. As I said, we're going to move on. I had another announcement at the beginning that I forgot. Did I announce the bathroom key? Yes. Okay. All right. I know many of us are unhappy about the fact that we're here today. Maybe we're not. Instead of in the rain and the demonstration in San Francisco. I would have gone to the demonstration in spite of the rain. But I just wanted to let people know that there's another opportunity. There's another demonstration coming up on April 10th. And I want these flyers back, but I'm going to pass them around so you can note the information. Thank you very much. Okay, so the next item on the agenda. We don't exactly have announcements. We do? Okay. We have announcements now. Go ahead, Susie.
Okay, it's very quick.
Yes.
Is it on? Hello? Okay. I have these, I don't know what you call them, postcards. And they're to save Social Security. They're letters. We need people to write a little bit blurb on it that says whatever you want about saving Social Security. Feinstein is not so great on this. Okay. I'm going to pass them around. Thanks. And just give them back to me.
Okay, thank you. All right, I believe we are now at the point of approving the agenda. All members should have the agenda in front of them. Okay, anybody doesn't have a copy of the agenda? We have copies of the agenda. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. Andrea needs one.
Okay.
I move approval. Second.
Hold on a second. Okay.
Anybody need one?
I want to give everybody a chance to read the agenda. Thank you. Okay. All right. Everyone's had a chance to look at the agenda. It's been moved and seconded that the agenda be approved. Is there any discussion? Tracy.
Only a note. I think there's a time certain on the GM report.
Yes, I was going to say that. Let me just see if there are any other questions. Okay. So Andrew Phillips, who is the interim general manager for KPFA, is coming to meet with us today. He indicated to me in a meeting and then subsequently in an email that he would come between 1:30 and 2. So my proposal to the board is that we adopt the agenda as written, but with the understanding that when Andrew arrives, wherever we are on the agenda, we'll move to the GM report. Is there any objection to that? Okay, good. So it's now been moved and seconded that we approve the agenda. Are there any objections? Go ahead.
The language on the motions, we didn't bring that to the meeting. I have some of it. But
yeah, yeah, no, everybody should have copies. Everyone should have copies, and if you don't have copies of the motions, we'll
make sure you get them at the break.
Okay, all right, ready? All right, so we're ready to vote on the approving the agenda. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Thank you very much. Oh, abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay, so now we're ready to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. Those were emailed to board members, and they're also posted on the web, but Craig has copies to hand out also.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Give me a second. Catching up with Tracy here.
The minutes are going around, and let me take this opportunity to ask whether everybody has copies of the resolutions scheduled for today. If you don't, I'll pass them around because I want to make sure the audience gets copies as well. Anybody not have copies of the resolutions? Okay, there's some yellow pages and a couple white pages with those. Okay, I'll send those around, and then we'll make sure that they're sent out so the audience can take a look at them too.
Okay. Does everyone got the minutes? Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Tanya Russell moved to approve the minutes, seconded by Mel Bernstein. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, we're ready to move to a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Any other opposed? Okay. Okay. I was going to ask for abstentions. Abstentions? All right. I hate to do this, but maybe we should make this a roll call vote just because people want to be recorded as abstaining. So I'll ask the secretary to take it. Unless someone objects, I'll ask the secretary to take it as a roll call vote. Okay. So this is on approving the minutes of the last meeting.
Okay, Augamir?
Abstain.
Augamir abstain. Bernstein?
Approve.
Bernstein, yes. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
Abstain.
Fest, abstain. Futron, not here. Gans, not here. Giesler, not here. Goldmacher? Approve. Con Helenin?
Approve.
Approve. Matthew Helenin?
Yes.
Matthew Helenin, yes. Johnson?
Abstain.
Abstain, Johnson. Kim?
Abstain.
Kim abstains. Kurzweil?
Approve.
Kurzweil approves. Nor?
Abstain.
Nor abstains. Phelps not here. Pritchett?
Abstain.
Pritchett abstains. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg, no. Russell?
Yes.
Russell, yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Tanaka?
Abstain.
Tanaka abstains. Turner?
Yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. Withers?
C.
Withers, C.
C. 13,
yes. 1, no. And 7 abstentions. And so the motion carries.
Thank you.
A record keeping oversight. The minutes from the January meeting, I did not include myself or Barbara Whipperman among those listed as present, and I just wanted to ask if there's any. I would like to add us in to those January minutes and hope there's no objection to doing so. Yeah, and while in February we're here, I think I added us to February. Okay, thanks.
No objection. All right, so now we're ready to move on to the treasurer's report. As I said, we'll hold the GM report until Andrew shows up. So,
okay.
Do you need a couple of minutes?
Well, I had things to pass out. I'm
okay.
Sorry, I should have been paying attention to the missing GM. Okay, there are two documents here. These two are for you. Okay, take one of those that you've got yours. Just pass that on. There's no. This is the other set here.
Okay, so take one of these.
One of those.
Yeah. Yes. I used all my toner.
Colors.
Okay. And then here's the second two-page thing. Well, I'm sorry, and I did not run them on St. Patrick's Day, so...
Yeah, it's not the 17th anymore.
We get the whole
I just want to say one thing about procedure that I think we learned in the last two meetings where Barbara made treasurer's reports. There's a tendency for people to want to ask questions as she goes along, and I think it made the process take longer. So what I would ask is that people listen. If you have a question, make a note, and we will have a question period, and everyone will get a chance to ask their questions after Barbara's completed her report. Is that okay? Does anyone object to that procedure? Okay, thank you.
Okay. First, I want to say a couple of things that don't have anything to do with the documents I just gave you. One of them is, and most of you know this because you're on the LSB Gmail, but Tracy sent a lengthy memo on the 18th or 19th of February commenting on a few things that were missing, a couple things in particular missing from the report that was put out. And she also had attached to it a kind of old style, I say old from last year, financial report that I think is from Simon Pius.
No, it wasn't from Simon.
Well, okay, it looks a lot like his kind of document, but I noticed that it's not on the on there anymore, that the one that's up with this memo now is this simpler form that we all did look at last time. The memo that you wrote and another memo clarified something for me that we had been concentrating on in our meeting in February 12th, where we looked at the quarterly report, which I didn't bring copies again. You guys saw them last time. And I don't want to talk about this a lot, but we got very excited at a certain line that showed, in fact, more money had come in than had been budgeted for. And I noticed later that people were talking about this as a $290,000 surplus. And there's some interesting way that terminology is used in this kind of reporting. What had been predicted was a $100,000 or almost $100,000 lack of money. But what actually came in was $190,000. So, in fact, we really needed only to be congratulating ourselves on having $190,000 in the bank, not $290,000 in the bank. And it was because of that last column on the right in this statement is really measuring the difference between what was predicted and what actually happened. So now that I'm getting used to the way these statements are, it's a little strange, but I won't let us make that kind of misinterpretation again. But anyway, there was another question that Tracy had in her memo, which was what was missing was cash in bank. And so I got figures from our business manager that at the end of the first quarter, and you can write this down, I'm not giving you a written report about it. December 31st, 2010, the cash in bank was $332,800. And the accounts payable, in other words, bills that were accumulated, just about to be paid, were $27,700 worth. So we were in pretty good shape on December 31st. Now, those figures fluctuate a lot. Every month will be quite different. But it is a way of looking at how the business situation is going. So thank you, Tracy, for reminding me about that. And unfortunately, I don't have those figures for the statements that I'm giving you today. But we're going to catch up next month some more. Now, Tracy also mentioned that something about the telephone bills. She thought they were low. I have to say that it is very difficult to do research on this. Maria is extremely busy, and I catch her when I can. We go over lots of things. And during the time when she was out with her daughter's emergency, I was in the office. She was not there. And the CFO came in, not in my presence, but she had just been there, very distressed about signing bills because there was some report that she felt was missing from Maria. And she had refused to sign a very, very large telephone bill.
Check, you mean?
Yeah, sign for the check. And so I believe that you may be right that the telephone bill had been delayed. The report, however, had been made, but I guess was not recognized by the CFO. The only other thing that I've noticed here, where you're talking about the website expenses, I didn't get any official answer about that, but I have heard that sometimes the website is unattended. So I'm just wondering if that isn't a contributing to the lack of expense for the website maintenance. These are things that I have notes here and I'm still going to be asking about. If anybody here knows anything more about it, please let me know what you know. As far as other questions in there, there are other things I'm following up on them. Now, let's go to this lovely colored document here. And I really don't like to be in the position of making excuses about not being all up to date on everything, but this, in fact, was something I received last night. And as I said, used all my toner printing them out for you. But this is something we can all look at and think about. You'll see there's a repeat of the first quarter's statement, the budget, the actual, and the difference. It will look, those first columns will look a little different if you did save yours from the last meeting, it was treasurer's item number 3, if you have it at home, this one. It'll look a little different because, in fact, there's more information in this one than there was last time. These things get updated as we go along. Another thing you'll notice about this statement is we've got January and February in here. And then we have a year-to-date column with budget and actuals compared, the differences. As you look down the lines, you'll see this blue line across with nothing in it. But Maria made a space there for the potential income from the pledges to return the morning show. She used a $60,000 figure. And also, it's stated as interest from the San Francisco Foundation. But in fact, when money will be recovered from that account, it won't be called interest. It will be the San Francisco Foundation will be making a grant. What will happen is at the end of their fiscal year, which is June, they will inform us as to how much the account, the endowment account, has increased in value. And most of the value will come not from interest, but from the increased value of the stocks and bonds that are being held in our name. The San Francisco Foundation is a philanthropic investment group, and it is managing our funds and distributing them according to the wishes of the donor. So that is an unknown. Maria put a line here so that we can imagine where and when we might be entering some figures there. I think that when I have more time to study this, I will have more things to say. But if anybody wants to put out a question about this document right now, I don't think I want to take a lot of questions because I haven't. We can go through the next document, and it might help a little bit for understanding. But if you have any specific question about this you want me to find out and report next time, please tell me. Okay, let's go to the next document that I also got last night. But this document was actually... Yes.
I'm interested to learn more about the crafts fair.
Oh,
And
okay.
The cost-benefit of that, it looks... it's lumped in... I think it's lumped in with other special events.
Let's see here. Let me find this.
So I'm not quite sure how you break that out, and if it's the crafts fair that seems not to be making money, I'm thinking we should talk about that.
What line item?
Right here.
Right
here.
Line 11.
That's line 11. Thank you. In the top of the page.
Well, there's also, that's in the income section, and there should be another expense line for that. And I know that's been a problem before, that people would like to see that all together. So I think that's a good question, Andrea. And next time I'll try to provide something similar to this sheet that we're just going to look at now, which is very brief, comparing certain large items that people have been interested in a way that isn't represented in this traditional financial report.
As a follow-up, is there any kind of summation of the crafts fair that's written each year? Is there like a crafts fair report, and does the crafts fair have to submit a budget, and do they have to do an accounting, a reconciliation of what income was generated, and is it possible for just, because it seems like a lot of energy goes into it, and mm-hmm. if it's not making money, it's just...
I think what you need is a comparison of a few years, and the questions you're asking. Is there a consolidated report of the income and the expenses?
Yeah, I would request that we see something.
We'll get some kind of historical thing just about the crafts fair.
And also for the previous year, not only just...
That's what I said, historical. Okay. Dan?
Just a clarification.
Mm-hmm.
It seems at the income level that it did make money, it just made less than what was hoped for, right? I mean, it says a projected... income was 98 or 99,000 and it brought in 76. So it's not that that's a loss, it's just disappointing.
Measured against what was speculated.
Yeah. Right, or budgeted.
Mm-hmm. So, but well, I like to call the budget a speculation myself.
Okay, whatever. But is there an item someplace on the expense? Is there an item in the expense column for the craft fair expenses, or is that item in the income a net?
You know, I'm sure there are separate expenses. I'm just not clear as to where, for instance, it must be that there is a salary in the group of salaries that can be put in this report that will be a consolidated report about the craft fair. And that sort of I can't spot it right now in the
146.
Okay, let's look at that.
Like expenses,
yeah. That's right. Here, in fact, look at this. At the end, Maria has put some of these things together. Community events and crafts fair special event. This is under expenses. Well, it says crafts fair special event. I'm just wondering if it's more than just the crafts fair. But I will find out. We'll get a little more clarification about the breakdown of the crafts fair income and expenses and maybe the other community events also.
Yeah, just to follow up, I'd be interested in, hopefully it's going to be broken up, because I'd like to see what these community, what constitutes a community event. Is that meant to be a moneymaker, and is it working?
I don't think it's meant to be a big moneymaker, but it certainly doesn't want to be a loss. Okay. Tracy.
Just a couple of questions or things that leaped out on me that maybe either you know the answers to or can get the answers to. Under development expenses, hold on. I'm doing it. Two quick questions. The first is line 134, or 6750 is the account. Premium other vendors. We came in sort of way under projections, although our income is not way under projections. So I guess my question would be, are those premiums we haven't ordered yet and need to, that big $20,000 discrepancy, or are we simply over-budgeting on premiums?
Yeah, on premiums.
Mm-hmm. The second question is, and this is kind of minor, it's just about 138, 139. I can't quite figure out how we would be printing less direct mail materials than anticipated, yet spending three times as much postage. So I'm just asking what the heck we're doing with the development mail.
Yeah, somebody ran away with the postage machine,
that
didn't they?
May just be weird classification stuff.
Timing, sometimes.
Yeah, it's just odd looking. Okay. Two other quick notes. The first is under salaries, line 58, 6,000. It's just a note that we're already $68,000 ahead of schedule, or, well, $61,000 less some health insurance savings. Since there's significant savings on the health benefits, my guess would be that's probably very part-time folks and vacation coverage and stuff like that. But since that's a not insubstantial amount of money, it's about 15% of our budgeted payroll to date, I think it might be worth looking into what that overage is about. And then the last thing is just a note that it looks like that ahead of budget thing met its death in January, February, and we are now 7% behind our budget with $118,000 less income than we had hoped to have by the end of February.
What line are you referencing?
Line 22, total revenue. You can also look at line 4, listener support, it's pretty much the same discrepancy. So we are now back to chasing our budget.
Okay. So, Tanya.
I'm just trying to, you know, there's all these individual questions. Mm-hmm. So next time when we meet, is it going to be agendized? These particularly specific questions that we don't currently have an answer to, those will all be addressed specifically mm-hmm. and explained. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So far as I can pin them down.
Yeah, to the extent that yes. you ask and get an answer.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, and Sharam.
I'm sorry, could it be that this discrepancy in salaries that Tracy mentioned have to do with the fact that there were severance paid mm-hmm. Made in November
I
and December?
Think so.
That
yeah.
seems to be where it's coming from.
Well, really? That'll just be analyzed some more.
Right.
Okay. So now I'd like to go to this other document.
Oops, I'm sorry. I think Andrea has one more question.
Okay.
Can you talk to me a little bit about development expenses and what's included in development expenses? I'm sorry. On 29, I'm just itemizing that out because I know that we have budgeted for hiring a development director, and I'm, that wouldn't be a development expense. Like, that's going to be considered.
Well, there will be something in this next document that addresses some of that. So let's go to that. Okay, now this grid here is something that
this is the white sheet.
Yeah, the white sheet with lavender highlights, and the next page has blue highlights. And okay, this came out of a discussion that I was having with our business manager, and trying to pin down and clarify some of the things that people had been asking about. And so she divided it up. The first page has got, as you'll see at the top, the widest column is titled Cash Assets. And then we have Capital Expenditures, the next section. And the bottom section is Revenue, the income from various categories. So let's look at the top one for a minute here. This was put together to outline what happened when we spent our reserves. So it goes back to fiscal year 2008, which means October 2007 through September 2008. And the operating account. Now, to tell you the truth, I think I'm not quite sure exactly what that is. I think it's the bank account and where it ended up at the end of the year. But
yes.
I believe that's what that is. I didn't take fully a lot of notes at the time. And anyway, so then we had a money market fund in 2008, way over on the right, you'll see. And by 2009, that was what was spent. We had in a CD over $400,000. It went down to $320,000 in 2009. And it was spent in 2010. Part of what was spent out of that was put into another CD for 100, and I don't know why it just says 100 over 2009, because I think it was 150, but it became 150 the next year. This is the remnants of the reserves, and it was being used for collateral on a line of credit loan. So it's not available to us. It is being held more or less by the bank. And the line of credit loan is one that the national office has taken out. And we don't know exactly what they spend it on because we are not getting statements from them of great detail about their expenses. But we have statements periodically. And last meeting, I know Jack asked about the line of credit. We are being charged interest on this loan, and he wanted to know if we were paying it or if the national office was paying it. And we do pay it, but it, in fact, it is considered to be part of our central services. In other words, the fee that we would be assessed of 19.5% is reduced by the amount of interest that we pay. Okay, now on the left-hand column, we end up with the, and you'll see in this section that's kind of lavender or gray, these are restricted funds, not available for our use, and the Heath Trust is mentioned there. And there's the $150,000 CD that's still there but tied up, and there's $375,000 for the Heath Endowment Fund. But in fact, it has earned money. So skip way down to the bottom of this front page where it says revenue, and you'll see in that widest column, Heath interest. That's kind of a shorthand term that Maria is using because, as I said, it's not all interest. Very little of it is interest. And the 27.5 is, I guess, the only thing that's been reported to her, but we know that there's another 28,000 of increased value that this endowment has now. It now is worth not 375,000, but 430,000. This is the money that is invested in San Francisco Fund. And to review for folks that were not at the February 12th meeting, this money is not going to all be available to us to take out unless some horrible hardship, like the roof caves in, or I don't know. I suppose if we had an earthquake bad enough for the roof to cave in, probably San Francisco Foundation would be caved in. We'll live as though those things are not really possible. But what happens at June, they will tell us, based on the amount that the account was worth in December, which was $430,000, $403,000, they will tell us what portion of that we might safely remove, and then we apply based on whatever description we want to give of how we would spend it for that amount. And it's actually a very small amount compared to the total amount of the account. It would be somewhere between $10,000 and $13,000 or $15,000. So in any case, these funds are considered restricted. There are also other funds listed in this grid at the bottom section. Just so you can get a picture of the proportion of our revenue and how it comes in. Listener support, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and here is a events and crafts fair income proportion in there, and then this restricted income in the Heath interest or increase. Okay, the middle section is another type of value that the corporation owns. It's mostly equipment and buildings, and these things do go into our financial statements, but they are not part of the holdings that we use for expenses. But it's there to give you a picture of the whole plus side of the thing. Okay, let's look at the next page. So here we have, and read the headings in the widest column of expenses, salaries and related, and under that is administration, and legal expenses are there. Other expenses, which are salaries and related. The depreciation expense, if you'll remember, I cautioned you last time that we had documents to look at, is not a real expense. It's just the decrease of value of equipment that we own. But it has to be listed in the financial reports, and that's what they do. They assign a value there and say that it was a decrease in the value of what we own. In other words, it could be mostly taken out of this thing in the front page, which is called capital expenditures or capital purchases. You'll see a breakdown here of programming expenses, development expenses, the cost of premiums, the credit card fees that we pay, and then there's the community events and the crafts fair. And then central services is broken down. Now, this page lacks some information on the bottom line, so I'm going to read it to you. The printer, no matter how I screwed around with it last night, would not print the very bottom figures. So in the left-hand column,
fiscal year 2012-11.
Yes. In the left-hand column, the very bottom line should say 37.8K. In other words, $37,800. In the widest column, the word loss, close parentheses, is missing.
Loss?
Yeah. Net income, parentheses, net loss, parentheses. Okay, and then in the column, the middle column, the fiscal year 2010, the very bottom figure is a minus figure, so these numbers are in parentheses, $619,900. And under fiscal year 2009, it's another minus figure. That's $919,900. And under fiscal year 2008, it's a positive figure, $149,500. Okay. I just want to ask a question. Do you find this kind of comparison in a non-traditional way useful? Do you want? Okay, that's what I thought. I thought so. Yeah. So I'm ready to take questions on that, this document, or any more.